Part 1. Into the Blind Spot. Chapter 1. It felt like a homecoming. It didn't matter that a thunderstorm was raging, the rain drumming on the tar paper roof, gunpowder flashes lighting up the dense, dripping foliage behind the house. It didn't matter that I hadn't stocked up yet at the CNC, so my dinner was only a piece of toast with melted cheese. And it didn't matter that Boston was hundreds of miles away and had stopped feeling like my home years earlier. My one frying pan sat on the stove. My two forks, two knives, and two spoons were installed in the drawer by the sink. My sweaters, wool socks, and snow pants were unpacked on the plywood shelves upstairs. And outside, at the top of the steep dirt grade, my little white Honda sat empty. I pictured it like a pack horse, finally unburdened, its body wild and calm with relief. It had known some beautiful pastures since my college graduation 3 years earlier. Elk plodding through a drifting snow in the Grand Tetons, the mesa late in the day gone ochre and purple above the Rio Grande. But for the first time, it would be in one place longer than 4 months. There would be no need to leave, no need to pack my bags again, no need to search elsewhere. Lev, the owner of the house, wouldn't be back until June. Finally, I could allow myself not to be an outsider, to belong to the land. I'd found the house by posting handwritten signs across northern Vermont, on the quilt-like bulletin boards outside general stores, on the musty walls inside laundromats, in Peacham, Johnson, Jay, in Barton, Newport, and Morrisville, and even in one town called Eden. My attempt at respectable handwriting hung there beside the firewood for sale, the beloved lost cats, the spaghetti dinners already weeks gone. Wanted. A cabin or house set in the woods, with good light, very solitary, proximity to a stream or brook, running water and electricity preferred. Only one man had replied. Lev was a philosophy professor, leaving in September to teach in his native Tel Aviv. He'd bought the house the previous summer and was refurbishing it. In August, I made the 6-hour drive from Boston, and Lev took me on a tour, pointing out his meager renovations. He was surprisingly tall, with a reddish beard and restless hands. It was hard to see the house through his talking. He'd planned to take sabbaticals with his wife, but after one winter of solitude for two, they were divorcing. He'd never lived in the house alone. He said he greatly anticipated such a winter. God only comes to those who are alone, he said. But it was obvious from his combination of bluster and warning that he viewed me as a guinea pig. I didn't mind. The guinea pig rate was good. I'd only have to pay for 6 cords of firewood, electricity, and a bit of propane for the hot water heater. Less than $1,000 all told. From the outside, the house resembled a battered pirate ship run aground. A glass lookout tower, small slanting decks with sagging wooden railings, a catwalk along the second story, its two planks noticeably bowed. Doubling as the hold was a makeshift garage. A corrugated steel roof sloped over a dirt floor, the berths not large enough for cars, but well-suited for storing firewood. Inside, through the mudroom, the main room was no less jerry-rigged, the light bulb above the table exposed, half the floor plywood, half faux wood flooring. But it wasn't a cave, wasn't damp or dark. There were 3 floor-to-ceiling windows, offering a kind of triptych of the woods. There was a refrigerator, an electric stove, a toaster oven. There was a wood stove for heat. Up a steep set of wooden stairs was the bedroom, with wide wood floorboards, a sloping ceiling, and a mattress in the corner. On the far side of the mattress was Lev's pride and joy, a small raised office space, with a desk and commanding view of the green mountains. The window looked out above one of the pitched and beaten decks. The green hills retreated into the distance like cresting waves. 9 months, Lev had said as we looked out. You move in October 1st. You go into the Vermont winter and through it. You are certain you can manage? I nodded. In these woods, time plays tricks on you. I understand. He wanted me to understand, but he didn't want me to understand. He wanted to explain.